Turn to the book of Acts, and we'll give you that real quick. The book of Acts. Now, we've been talking about praying for boldness and talking about praying about your ability to witness. When I say witness, we talked about that and sort of did our best to clarify that witnessing is not always about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Some of the easiest way to learn about witnessing is just tell people what the Lord's done for you. If He's been a blessing to you, if He's helped you, if He's helped you through some difficulty or something. I by no means am I teaching you this to tell you that it's incumbent upon you by some guilt method or motive to say that because of all the Lord's done for you, you should do something for Him. Let me make it very clear, God doesn't need us to publish the gospel. If He did, He'd have everybody in Africa right now. God will get the message to the people in Africa the way He needs to get them there. If He doesn't have missionaries to do it, then He'll get it to them through nature, according to Romans 1. Don't ever get the misconception that God needs you or needs me. God doesn't need us. He can do it another way. He's simply letting us get in on what He wants to do and allowing us the privilege of doing that. We should consider it an honor to speak for Him. He said, you're an ambassador for Christ. But I'm not like a lot of preachers that do it for the purpose of trying to grow numbers in the church. I don't believe a forced witness is a witness at all. I saw a guy not long ago, I saw a video tape of a guy who professed his faith in Islam and so on and so forth with a knife to his throat. And right before they cut his head off, he professed that he believed Allah and all this other stuff and then died a martyr for Allah. That doesn't mean anything to me at all. That means he was trying to avoid getting his head cut off. So I don't believe forcing you to witness is something that is a good process to do. I believe if you love the Lord, you tell people about it, but it doesn't always mean that you're going to give them the death, burial, and the resurrection. Being a good witness, being a good testimony, and how you work, what you do, is just as important as then letting that lead up to you telling them how to avoid going to hell. With that in mind, look, if you will, please, in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. We'll pick it up there. Remember, I told you in the book of Mark, he says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then he says in the book of Luke, he said, that which I tell you in darkness or tell you in private, in a sense, shout it from the rooftop, meaning publish it, let it be known. If you know the Bible, you have an opportunity to speak up. Don't be ashamed to speak up. Amen. That doesn't mean that you have to be an expert in everything. Just tell them what you do know. You don't have to have the answer for everything. Don't be intimidated by biblical midgets that are trying to always ask you some kind of stupid question that you don't know the answer to. Just say, hey, listen, man, I don't know about that. I just know what the Lord did for me. I know where I'm going when I die. That's all I can tell you. Well, what do you think about so on and so forth? And they throw you some big theological. I don't know. I could probably take it to somebody that can answer it. But in the bottom, but in the meantime, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Get a witness in there. Just whenever you can. All right, Acts chapter number 4. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 13. 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them, watch it, that they had been with Jesus. Brother Larry, you pray and ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Let me say this. First of all, before he's ever talking, thank you. Before he's ever talking, they got it back up. He said this, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled. In other words, they saw them standing up and they were not supposed to be. They're fishermen. They're not learned. They're not learned in the Scriptures. They're not learned theologically. They don't know all their doctrinal issues. They don't have a copy of the Bible. But they boldly talk about Jesus Christ. And they said they marveled because of their boldness. They weren't ashamed of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in just a little while I'll show you where the Apostle Peter stands up and he says, listen, you should keep your mouth shut. And Peter says, I'm not going to quit telling you about Jesus. And he winds up getting beat for it. And then after he's done with that, he said, man, ain't this a blessing that we were seen worthy to suffer persecution for Jesus' sake. The reason I tell you this is because Peter was never considered to be a learned individual. Many people think the only way you can witness is from a pulpit or get some kind of theological degree. Well, if that's the case, none of the apostles were qualified. Paul probably would have been the most qualified because he did have the education. He did have the ability to do it. But Paul dumbed it down where everybody else could understand him, and he became all things to all men that he might win some. Paul was able to take that intellect and turn it down to an understandable level and put it, as the old preacher used to say, across the plate, waist high, where anybody could hit it. As we were talking about in Bible school, the ability to leave some cookies on the bottom shelf and then put a few up on the top shelf for the giraffe. Don't ever be intimidated by the fact you don't know everything that should be known about the Scripture. The longer you study the Scripture, the more you will realize that you don't know anything. And a lot of things that you thought you knew, you will find out that you were wrong about, and you probably shot your mouth off too fast, and it might have been better for to keep your mouth shut before you learn. Talk about the things that you do know. But don't ever let anybody intimidate you because of your boldness. Just tell them, hey, I just know this. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going home to heaven. Hope you're going to go with me. I know I'm not going to hell. Well, how can you know that? Can you quote me 4 verses on it? I know that the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to perish. I have everlasting life. Does that mean you're not going to die? No, I'll die physically, but I'll never die again. You get born the second time, you don't ever have to worry about dying one time, physical death, unless the rapture happens. So you just give them what you do know. Don't be intimidated by that. They're listening to Peter and John preach, and they're saying, man, this is a strange thing. These guys don't have the education, but listen to them talk. You say, why? Because they're talking about what they love and who they love. I come down a little bit further there to verse number 29. Verse number 29, same passage. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You know what the Apostle Paul says later on? The Apostle Paul says, pray that a great door of effectual would be opened to us, and that we would have boldness to speak. You don't have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not one of these individuals that if I go out to a restaurant, my wife and I bow our head and pray and that kind of thing, and I say in the name of Jesus. I don't say, in the name of Jesus. I don't do that. That's foolishness. I don't do that. People think you're some kind of a nut job. I'm not that insecure in my beliefs or trying to make some kind of a bold statement to somebody to let everybody know I'm saying in the name of Jesus because they say I can't. But I believe in praying in the name of Jesus. You don't want to pray it? Don't. Go ahead and say God. That offends anybody. Won't offend anybody. There's something about the name of Jesus that offends people. That's why I say in the name of Jesus. And if I really feel it, I'll say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You say, well, that's His full name. I figure, you know, well, why not? It bothers the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that's coming. I think it's good. They have a right to do their foolishness. Why can't I say my prayer?
That's right.
You know, I get a chance to do that. I get done and I say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pass the biscuits, baby. And there are people looking at you now. It's common. It's real common. I don't do the lost napkin thing, you know, where you knock the napkin off the table or something. You know, Lord bless this food. Please sure do appreciate it. Thank you. Well, I can set it up like that. I'm not ashamed to pray. The people I hang out with aren't ashamed that I pray. I have some people that go with me sometimes. They go out to eat sometimes. Sometimes there are people that are relatively close to me, and you can tell they get a little nervous. If they know I'm going to pray, or they get ready to dig in, I say, we're going to pray first. You say, why? I'll say to them sometimes jokingly, I hope you don't get a stomachache. You started eating before we prayed. And then they're like, oh, yeah. Go ahead and pray. Well, you say, why? Where do you think the food came from, stupid? Or pardon me, uninformed, not you people. I know you do that. I'm thanking God for the food before me.
Amen.
You think you earned the food or the money to pay for it? Why, you're a fool. God gave you that money and God gave you the ability to get it. God put it there. It could have roaches or hairs in it or anything else. You don't know. It could have Ebola in it or E. coli. You could die of the plague. Are you hungry? They give you that wilted lettuce and they call it and it tastes like bleach and you wonder why it doesn't kill you. Pray over it and sanctify it. And then God does, He encapsulates it and protects you. How many things do you think you've eaten? You ever taken a video, you ever watch a video of somebody when they're asleep? You ever seen the stuff that crawls in your nose and in your mouth and in your ears? See, never happened. Okay, stay awake tonight and watch it. You ain't protecting it. You say, well, preacher, what protects me? I believe the Lord protects you. I believe God's the one. You know why I believe you're here tonight? I think God got you here. I think God made you well enough for you to be here. I don't think you're here because you eat, you know, green drinks and you do all this and that. I believe you're here because God lets you be healthy. You say, well, did God make me sick? No, sometimes you're sick because of bad habits. You eat too much sugar, you wind up with diabetes. Imagine that. You'll be the first one to scream at somebody with a cigarette in their hand or a glass of liquor in their hand, but you don't have any problem with, you know, eating another dozen donuts. I'm not talking about your weight or your size. I'm talking about habits. You ladies, you have a hard time. Your hormones change. I understand that. Listen, man, I'm not throwing off on you. I don't judge somebody by that. Some of you got real problems. I don't know, man. I know this. I know that since I've gotten older, if I eat more than one meal a day, I can put on a pound thinking about it. Wake up in the morning thinking about bacon and eggs and grits and sausage and real butter and biscuits and syrup and stuff. And I go hit the scale and I'm like, where'd that come from? Lord says, you're thinking about it, man. And you get old, your metabolism changes. Now, don't get offended by that, but I'm saying you have to make adjustments. Not everybody's an athlete. Not everybody's Twiggy. Not everybody's like Brad. Brad can eat a whole pizza and never gain an ounce. That's his metabolism. But maybe it'll cost you a metal hip to do it. I'd rather struggle with my weight than to have all that metal in me. He's always had a fast metabolism. Probably why he got hit, slowing down a little bit. I'm not trying to offend you, but I think it's good for you to. I think it's good for you to pray over everything. Really, thank God for it. Tell the Lord you know where it came from. Look in verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh. And they spake with other tongues. They had the initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, look at one of the signs that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Look what happens. They're filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Well, one of the surest signs that you're full of the Lord is you're telling other people about Jesus without being ashamed. So the question would then be begged to be asked, how full of the Holy Ghost are you? If one of the signs of being filled is witnessing, we all want to be filled, don't we? Well, look at it. Isn't that what he says? Didn't he tell you should be witnesses? Yeah, we should be witnesses. Okay, come to Romans chapter number 10. No, stop off in Acts chapter 5 first. Acts chapter 5. This is the verse I wanted to give you here. You get boldness. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You talk about Him. Why? It's spilling out of your pores. It's why you read the Bible. It's why you pray and ask the Lord to fill you up. Push all that other filth out of the way and speak up for the Lord. Verse number 40. And to Him they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Look at this. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can you find for me in the passage where they taught and preached against the government or sedition against the government? Can you find it for me? I can show you the passage over in Peter where the Apostle Peter tells you that you pay your taxes that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Who ever heard of a man that claims to be a man of God or a woman of God that don't pay their taxes and pay their bills? Why, he says you're blaspheming the Word of God. Why no preaching on that? You owe the government money? You're blaspheming the Word of God. Well, that's why you put up all the I don't like the government stuff. Because the real truth of the matter is the government's got you over a barrel because you owe them money. So now what you're going to do is exactly what people do in politics. When you don't have the backbone to talk about the real issue, you go into a character assassination. So now you put out all the articles about the government and the IRS, and the truth be known, you owe them money, you're trying to defame their character. Well, that's a cheap shot. You can't win against your opponent politically, so you attack their character. Well, why would you do that? I'll tell you why. Because you're a snake. Peter said, pay your taxes. Lord, do you pay taxes? Pete, go down there and get that fish and get that money and pay those taxes. God's in subjection to it. You know what he says right there in that passage? He tells you that I have continued to teach and preach Jesus Christ, not the Constitution of the United States, which you can't preach in any other country but the United States, as if that's your Bible, or sedition against the government or something like that. Why, you're demonically possessed. And I don't like the government. Why, because you owe money? You don't have a right to talk about them unless your bills are paid. Bill told me one time, he said, I'm one of the greatest Christians that's ever been on the face of this earth. I said, really? Well, that's a real blessing to meet you. I said, do you pay your bills? Yeah, what are you going to say to somebody like that? It's just the epitome of stupidity. And he said, well, brother, that's a real blessing. What do you measure a Christian by? I said, he said, well, what do you measure it by? I don't know why I said it, but it just maybe it was demonic. And I said, well, I measure it by whether or not somebody pays their bills. So what does that have to do with anything? I said, wrong answer. You're a good Christian, you can't keep your word. You know what you are? You're a liar. You don't just not pay your bills. You entered into an agreement. And you won't pay it. You're a liar. Not only that, you're a thief. How dare you? How dare you? You don't deserve to live in this country. I have to pay taxes. You don't want to pay taxes. You want to have some kind of a duck or a dodge so you don't pay taxes or something like that because of some obscure law that's out there, and you think, oh, well, I'm going to sign up for that so I don't have to pay taxes. I'm going to then get out of the country. You say, why? Well, we have to pay for armies, and we have to pay for streets, and we have to pay for police. I personally like having them around so I can sleep at night, or I can call them to pick me up off the street if I have a wreck. Christians, boy. Some of them just wear me out with all this stuff. They're not a good Christian at all. You don't find one place where Jesus comes against Caesar in Rome. If it's so biblical, why didn't Jesus do it? Why didn't Peter do it? Why didn't Paul do it? I'm wore out with hearing all that stuff preached now. It's just become this kind of deal. You don't like the country? Get out. Move to China. Let me see you shoot your mouth off in China. Or Syria. That'd be a good one for you. Let me hear you go down and live with them in Africa for about 90 days and then shoot your mouth off over there. And come to America and just because you can shoot your... You got a guilty conscience, buddy. That's what your problem is. That's why you're always attacking who you see as your enemy, because you're a thief. You're a thief and you're a liar. You're a citizen of the United States. You promise to abide by the laws. I'll give you a good one. This will make some of you cringe right now, I guarantee you. You've been married before and the court ordered you to pay child support? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Moan all you want. Did the law tell you? Well, then you should have stayed married. Otherwise, shut up and pay up. Well, it ain't right and it ain't my... Hey! I didn't marry her, stupid. You did. And you had a couple of kids and you don't think you should be paying... Well, I don't think I should pay that much and not... He should have stayed married. Play you pay, boy. Well, I'm not paying. Okay. Christian. You get behind in your mortgage payment? Fine. Let them take me to court. Good, Christian. Good. I know people fall on hard times. This is all free of charge. I can tell it's upsetting you. But your testimony speaks so loud that then you tell people you're a Christian or you've got a bumper sticker on your car and they look at that and they go, yeah, Christian. Yeah, you got to be kidding me. The guy don't even pay his bill. Here's a good one for you. You get up from a restaurant after giving the woman a hard time the whole time she's in there and she's put up with your cotton-picking foolishness because everything that's out there ain't right and you didn't get this right and you didn't get that right and they didn't do this right and they're trying to do something to you. And then you leave a quarter on the table. You leave her 10%. I guess that's the way you tithe too. 10%. What's the deal? Great testimony and a track on top of it. Great, Christian. Great. Wonderful. Great testimony. Then somebody walks in and you say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm a preacher down here at the Bible Believers. One of y'all. Yeah, the last couple people been in here said they were Christians too. Didn't even leave me enough money to buy a Coca-Cola with. I'm sorry, the love of money is the root of all evil. You can't turn a little bit loose of it. Somebody that's taking care of you. Oh, I forgot. You think it's all wrapped in the food and they should be taking care of you because you're so special. And you walk in, hey, I'm here. You feeling nauseated yet? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about witnessing. We do have a witness. And people do know us. You ever been behind a Christian witness before? A bad one? Well, you can't make enough ground to make the game up on it. You can't pick it back up. They don't have a bad taste in their mouth. I know individuals that have run into one policeman in their life, and they think the thousands that have been and gone and retired, and they think everybody's the exact same way. And they think they're all because of that one deal. Well, they ain't all like that. And if people put you in the same category, you'd be mad about it. If you go to a restaurant and you go to other places out here to do business and you become what people think a Christian is, well, what? No wonder they think we're a bunch of blooming idiots. Stingy, self-centered snots. Back years ago, we used to work the parking lot. It was back before they had pavement and big fancy stadium and all. They had gravel out there and grass and dirt. And you'd go out there and you'd park cars. No lines or nothing like that. You had to line them up and stop them and line them up and stop them. And they'd always have a hard time getting people to work the religious concerts. And the Seventh-day Adventists would have their meeting, Jehovah's Witness, and nobody wanted to work. And you say, well, that was the roughest people you ever dealt with. Can I back in? No, straight ahead and turn in there. Straight ahead. Well, I want to back in. Well, can I pull in here? You mean and stop everybody out in the street to back up so you can back in? Well, I got to be able to get out of here. What'd you come for? You're not going to park me there, are you? And then argue with you. What's your name? Where's your supervisor? Right over there in the meantime, could you park your car, please? Before you go complain, would you just park your car and then get out and go complain? But park your car. You're backing up the whole thing. Christians. Now, I love Christians. Don't misunderstand me. But you Christians need preaching to. You need to work on your witness. You need to work on your attitude. You walk around like you're... You walk around... Well, I can't say that. You walk around with your nose so high up in the air, you'd drown if it started raining. Like your BO don't smell or something. You're special. You're not special. The Bible says you're the off-scouring of the world. That's what He said. You're a servant. You're not the king yet. You're representing the king with a humble attitude. Christians, strange about that kind of stuff. I wondered sometimes if now I won't be this way, but I did wonder this. I wonder if the Lord would have a saved IRS agent show up at the judgment seat of Christ, and how many Christians would be up there white as a ghost thinking, oh, I know you probably don't think of that. I think of stuff like that. Really? Thinking, man, wouldn't that be something? It's like, you pay your bills. Yeah, yes, sir, I pay my bills. John, come here just a minute. Yes, sir. Who'd you work for? IRS. You know this guy? Goes, You think God lets that stuff get by? You really think God don't see that stuff? Why, you must not be afraid of God at all. God knows you're down, you're uprising and you're down going. He knows everywhere. David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God's everywhere. You don't think He sees that? Moving the decimal point? You don't think He sees that? You got a different God than I do. Talking about, you say, well, preacher, what is that? Witnessing. It's not all verbal. Have you not heard the old adage, actions speak louder than words? Well, sure. Romans chapter number 10. You all know this one right here. Well, verse number 9. Romans 10 and verse number 9. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, confession is made for you getting saved, but it also confession becomes profession. These kids have been getting baptized. We baptized Logan in here on Sunday. And before that, we had the Danko youngin' that was up here. You say, what do you think of Noah was up here? He didn't have an ark. He went under. But at any rate, you say, what is that? That's a profession. That's a profession. They're showing you that they're saved individuals. Well, does anybody know you're saved? I wonder sometimes with you kids, I know this is going to be hard on you, what I'm about to say. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's going to be hard on you. But I wonder if they can tell by how you act at school that you even go to church. I used to watch them come in. Brother Mike used to work a lot with me at the concerts and stuff we had to work in those days. And I was glad to have him. He would always back you up. He was a lot faster at ducking than I was. But I think he told you the story in his testimony when he joined the church about how he ducked one time and I didn't. And the guy with a crutch cleaned my clock. But it's all right. He was just looking for an excuse to hurt somebody. So I'm not saying he did, but, you know, in the name of Jesus, the guy fell over and, you know, so he healed him all right. But we used to work those shows, and we'd see these cars pull up with these parents out front dropping off their kids. And their kids come in and pretty decently are tired, you know, and jeans and things like that. And they'd come through the gate and we'd check everything. How many purses of them girls and jackets and coats stuffed with inappropriate attire, just near about as it wouldn't be enough clothes in there to make a pair of breeches for a Blue Jay. I mean, just, and they go in the bathroom and then come out and look like something you'd pick up on the street. And we just sit there and marvel at that. Just look at that and say, man, and then parents think, you know, and parents dropping them off. Some of them with stickers from churches. And they come in there and listen to that rag-headed bunch of junk that's up there and that satanic, demon-possessed foolishness in there. And then go back into the deal and change clothes and walk back out like, you know, and mom and dad, did you have fun? Yeah, boy, they had fun doing stuff in there you can't imagine. I wonder if that's the kind of witness some of you kids have. Well, this ain't nothing compared to youth camp. I wonder if that's your testimony. You go to school, what do they think of you? Here's a good one for you. What do they see you on as your profile? If they were to see you right now sitting in church, would they be shocked? Would they be like, well, that ain't the same girl. I never seen that before. Look at her. That ain't the girl I've been talking to. You're mighty quiet in here. See, it's a witness, some of you adults. Still acting like a kid over the internet all that time to do all that stuff. Oh, preacher, you know, help yourself, man. Don't get all upset and get jacked out of shape because, you know, I happen to be kicking your God. That's all you have to do? Fine. Pay more attention to your husband, lady. You might have a happier marriage. Thank you. I was feeling a little all like hanging out by myself there, Isaiah. I don't know what in the world, man. Sir, maybe you spend a little bit more time talking to her. It ain't just them anymore. I ask you a question. I'm curious. I really am. This isn't a rhetorical question I'm going to ask you. I ask you a question. Miss Debbie, straight up now, would it be all right with you if Brother Brad was to sit down with a stranger over here, a girl, and just sit down and just carry on the conversation about anything and everything? Would that be all right with you? Would Brother Brad be all right with you if Miss Debbie just carried on with it? Oh, okay. Yeah. A little jealousy there. A little possessiveness. How come you sit down and your kids start contacting people you've never even met or even know? And you parents are talking to people you've never seen before. You saw them 25 years ago in high school and you think they're still the same person. I don't know about you, but I ain't nothing like I was in 1970. Well, what's the matter? Is this too close to the hay? Well, I need conversation. What did you do before there was an internet? I'm just making good use of the tools that God has provided. You sure God's provided that? Now let me ask you a question. This is my question, okay? For the men. Men, would it be all right for your daughters to sit down and talk with somebody that's 25 to 40 years older than they are? To just talk, they're just talking. I'm not talking about counsel or something like that. I'm talking just talking. Would that be all right with you? Why you let your kids talk to men that are 30 and 40 and 50 years older than they are? Well, they're just talking. why is it okay to do it with letters with a computer thing and it ain't okay in person? I don't understand that. You know what I think that is? I think that's perverted. I think a 50-something-year-old man talking to a teenager is just downright weird. Brother Sam, the best youth pastor I've seen ever. I mean that unequivocally. I've been around. I know what I'm talking about. You know what he's always been very careful about doing? I tell him, don't get around them. Don't do counsel them by themselves. Don't be talking about this. And every time a kid will come and say, Brother Sam, I'd like to talk to you. He said, we can go see the preacher. You say, why? There's safety in that. That's smart. He's like, Now, he's younger than I am. He's in his 30s. I'm bumping 60 now. But he's got enough sense, even though the age gap is not as much, to realize, I'm 20 years older than you. I ain't talking to you. I'm married. I got kids. Kids. I don't know where that came from. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about your witness. You know what I think it'd be good for some of you to do? I think it'd be good. Hey, your kids are going to have a cow when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. And if they got the internet running, it'll be good for them to hear it. You know what I think you should do? I think you should go into your kids' accounts and look at all their friends and find out who they friended and who's friended them. And if the guy's not their age, I'd write him off as a pervert. Yes, I would. And if you're married and you have a guy that's single talking to your wife, I'd write him off as a pervert and let him know in no uncertain terms, if you talk to my wife again, you're going to have me to deal with. Now, I'm sorry, I'm just old school about that. So, but what does your wife do? I don't have one of them things. My wife has a code to get in. She can look at my email anytime she wants. I don't care. She picks up my telephone. I don't care. I ain't worried about it. I found this phone. Go in the closet. I found his passcode. I don't understand that stuff. Y'all are freaking out. Not y'all. Y'all are Bible believers. Y'all are like, well, I have my own life. You're married, stupid. You don't have a life of your own. When you said I do, it's like, oh well, here we go. Yeah, that's marriage. Yeah, ain't no secrets. I ain't saying tell everything you did before you got married, but now that you're married, all this, you know, I have my own life to live. Then you shouldn't have got married. I need my privacy. That's not marriage. Marriage is, you ain't got no privacy. I mean, even the dog interrupts you. What are you talking about? Witness. Witness. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you care enough about your kids to know who they're talking to? Who they're spending time with, Instagramming and Twittering and Facebooking and all the other kind of things that are out there. I got a whole list of them. Man, I started running statistics on that stuff. Do you know how many kids and how many abuse cases there are because of that cotton picking thing? But you know what? You people, you think it'll never happen to your kids. It's kids just like your kid. It's kids just like sitting in here. Gullible, stupid. Oh, he really loves me. That's a daddy that's afraid of the wrath of his daughter. I shut the thing off so fast and make her head swim. I throw it in the koi pond. You ain't getting that. You ain't earned the privilege. You can't handle it. And if you're going to stop me every time I come in there or block me or have some kind of channel guard on the thing or whatever, uh-uh, no sir. A TV in your room? You are smoking crack. You watch it out here where I can see what you're looking at. Well, I have studies to do. Okay, good. Sit down at the kitchen table. Well, I'm going to take my computer to my room. Not unless I'm dead, you ain't. Well, as you can tell, that's the reason you've got problems in America. The parents no longer stand up to the kids. They're their buddies. They're pals. You know, we're being pals together. We're getting a mani-pedi together. Do that after she's moved out of the house and you're doing that. But when your kid's like that, you want to be careful that she understands who the mom is. Amen. We're talking about witnessing. You're a witness to your own kids. They see how you live and then what you do when you get in here. They're not fooled by that. They're not stupid. Hallelujah. Shall we hurry? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 22. I don't know why you do it. If you saw some freako in here talking to your kid, you'd put a stop to it. But you think nothing of not knowing. How do you know they're the age they say they are? How do you know that the picture they're sending is who they are? I know people right now that use several different aliases. They're trolling. We used to have a reason for that, trolling. We used to know what that was. Trolling. You looking to pick up something? Surely my daughter has more sense than that. She's as big an idiot as you were when you were that age. She doesn't know. I love them. They've been raised right, but they can be duped like anybody else. Verse number 22, the Apostle Paul talking here. 21, to them that are without the law is without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And that was the standard verse of the individual. Take your Bible and come over to Philippians chapter number 1. He told me, he said, he was going down to the course in the name of Jesus. It was a street preaching thing again. And it's always an issue there. It's something strange. But anyway, this guy, he comes and I got word from a friend of mine down at the beach, and he said, hey, this guy's standing in the back of a pickup truck. And back in those days, they had topless places and, you know, those kind of dance clubs and that kind of a deal. And the guy was always going down to the beach and all that. Well, I called the guy in and I said, listen, man, I said, you're down there. You're passing out tracts without the name of our church on it and stuff like that. I said, I have a couple of questions for you. He said, yeah, what's that? I said, first of all, why you always got to go in the evening time? Second of all, why do you set your truck up right across from the door when it opens in that bar that's across from you? He said, well, how do you know where I'll go? And I said, well, I don't know. I just have kind of ways of finding it out. He said, well, I'm down there because I need to become all things to all men that I might win some. I said, there's a limit to that. The Apostle Paul would never go into one of those kind of clubs like that to try to win somebody in that club because he says, I'm under the law of Christ. I'm not going to dirty myself up to get somebody. I'm not going to go in there and, you know, walk around with orange juice in my hand and sip on it, you know, even though everybody else is in there. I'm not doing that. And he said, well, you know, and then he got mad and, you know, you don't care about people and you don't care about the gospel. You don't care if you don't care about anybody and this and that and the other. And he pitched a big fit and threw a bunch of tracks up in the air and walked out the door like some little girl sucking his thumb. I've dealt with that stuff on a regular basis. I don't understand that. That's just foolishness. That's just immaturity. Why would you go to a young single man across from a place like that? Now, why would you go to a place like that? Second of all, why wouldn't you take somebody with you? You're looking to get this not knocked out of you. You're out there telling a bunch of people they're drunk reprobates and calling them all kind of names and stuff. Snatch you off that truck and beat the tar out of you, beat your eyeballs out of your head. Don't you like a bunch of bees got a hold of you? You have any sense? That's not a good witness. That's stupidity. You go, fellow, one time comes up here, the street preaching thing. He comes over here. He stands in the middle of the driveway. We've been preaching down there for years. He stands in the middle of the driveway down here in front of the, used to be Kmart there. I don't know if it's still there or not. Right there where the Hardee's thing is. And the guy came up there to him and said, listen, man, you're blocking the driveway. Appreciate it if you'd move down the road there. Your fellows usually stand right over here on the corner and that kind of thing. I've got a right to be here. Bless God! You know, and all that stuff. Well, one of the patrons to the place comes in there and says, listen, man, I'm not going to put up with that every time I walk into your store. This guy's standing out front here and accosting me every time I walk in here. I'm not going to put up with that anymore. And the manager comes out there and he says to him, hey, listen, man, I asked you once. This is private property. Will you please just move over there? I agree with what you're doing. I got no problem with you telling people, but could you do it down here and stop grabbing my people when they're coming in the door? Well, the guy pitched a fit to the point that they called the police. And the police show up there, and the guy starts that yakety-yakety, you know, that running that pie hole, just, you know, all the rights he had and all that other kind of stuff, and refused to give him the driver's license and all that other kind of deal like that. The next thing you know, he's, you know, hooked up and sitting in the back of the car. And the guy I happen to know, he calls me, and he said, and I said, well, what did he do? And he said, blocking a public passageway, he's accosting the people. He said, the manager of this place has been putting up with it, and the guy refused to move, and this and that and the other. And I said, okay, well, do with him what you want. He said, well, I know you don't go with this. And I said, you warned him, and he refused to move. That has nothing to do with the Lord. That's a bad witness. That's a bad testimony. And God took him a couple of blocks down the road, and he said, listen, I talked to your pastor, and this is not what he goes for. If I catch you out here again, I'm going to put you in jail. You understand? And he let the guy go. And the guy comes in, and he goes, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I said, brother, that's the last time you go in the name of the church. You understand? That's not how we do it. We've spent years developing a relationship with the policeman around here and doing it the right way. We've had women out there with signs and different things like that. And I said, in a matter of just a couple of times, you've ruined the reputation out there. And he said, well, you got to get out of your eyes. I said, that's it, man. That's it. You're done. If you do it, you're doing it on your own. And the next time they call me, I'm going to tell them to put you in jail. You say, what happened to him? Oh, he got mad and left the church. Because I'm going to let him do it his way. In the name of a bad witness. I'm talking about witnessing. Even in the name of witnessing. He's out there. You think that policeman, you think that fella, that guy at Kmart's a nice fella. We've talked to him I don't know how many times. I don't know if he's still there. There's a manager there. He'd come out and say, hey, listen, here's what we do and here's the path. I said, we'll be right over here and if we create any problem or cause any, you let us know. We'll move. We never had a problem until this braying donkey shows up there and then blocks the people and all that. You understand? You can be a good witness or a bad witness. Yep. And some of it's in the name of Jesus. Some of it's just pure stupid. You're mighty quiet tonight, folks. Philippians chapter number 1. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 20. I like the Apostle Peter says, we've counted it worthy to be suffered for Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. All right, so the object of your witnessing is that Christ would be magnified. You think that magnifies Christ? Standing out there and making a fool of yourself like that? I've known people that have gone out there and preached on the street and never had an encounter, not a single problem. How come it is that certain ones just continually running into trouble all the time? It's the way they do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul says, my object is, now that I got this body, is that the Lord would be magnified. He's talking about not what he just does with his mouth, but his actions. Talking about how he treats other people. How do you treat your wife in public? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Oh my God, preacher, what does that have to do with anything? Everything. Are you a Christian man? I know how the Muslims treat their women. How do people see you treating your wife and your kids? It's a witness. Preacher, I thought you were just going to tell us, you know, you're publishing the gospel. No, you're publishing how your relationship is with the Lord by what you do, where you go, and every action you take. People's impression of Christ is what they see in you. An unsaved man, the Bible teaches clearly to you, cannot see in you what's on the inside. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. So what happened? Neither can he know them. So what does he do? He can only go by what he sees. So when he looks at you, he gets an impression of something's different about you, and as a result, that makes him interested in what you have to publish. But that's all he can see. As I said in Bible study, that's faith without works is dead. Now, here's the thing. In the tribulation, they got to have the works to prove they have the faith. But I'm telling you, in the practical sense or applying that spiritually, it's like this. They can't see your faith. They have to see works as a demonstration of your faith. They don't understand that you're saved and you can't see it. They only understand what they can see because they're carnal. They're natural. So they're watching you. You are the only Bible that, I know it's corny, but you're the only Bible that other people read. You say, why? Your flesh, their flesh. They understand flesh looking at flesh. They can pick up the Bible and read it, and it's just, you know, looks like an ant jumped into some ink and put a bunch of words on the page. But they look at you and they say, now that's a person. I'm a person. I can understand a person. So they're looking at you, and you become their Bible because they can't understand the gospel until they see something. And so what they do is you're the Bible. You're a walking Bible. Did you know that? And it has nothing to do with what you quote. It has to do with what people see when they see you. What do they see? What does the gas station attendant see? The waitress, the banker, the people you do business with, the people you work for, the people. What do they see? They can't see nothing else. They see you go through trouble. They're watching you. They don't understand trouble. Everybody has trouble. Well, why do the righteous suffer? Why do good people, bad things happen to good people? They don't get that. They look at you and they go, now how did that person go through that? And I've seen people go through that thing and come, how did that happen? What's different about that person? Hey, can I ask you a question? How did you do that? Oh, that wasn't me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. What? Right. Yeah, if you saw anything in me, it's Him. Let me tell you what He did for me. Now the door's open. Why? Because they saw you go through trouble. That's why you go through trouble sometimes, is to be a minister to somebody else. A couple more things real quick, and then we'll get you out of here. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Notice what He says. And His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's a time for your witness to be biblical-based preaching. 1 Peter chapter number 3, and that's not for everybody. Everybody's not a preacher. I heard a fellow statement one time, and he said, everybody is a preacher, and everybody's called to preach. No, everybody's not called to preach. Now, you might make a loose interpretation of that and say you're preaching, you know, how you live, and that's showing that you're preaching and that kind of thing. But a woman is not called to preach. You're all called to publish the gospel some kind of way. But everybody doesn't publish it the same way. I know a man that's not good at talking to people. I even talk to kids and little things like that, but he's not good at just walking up to somebody. You say, what'll he do? Oh, he'll leave a track on a gas pump or leave a track in a bathroom or something somewhere. I know one idiot that went over and went. It made the deal. They took some of our tracks and put them among a place in a drugstore that was just totally inappropriate. And went over and stuck a bunch of tracks, our tracks in there, and then somebody sends me a picture of it and says, oh, there's a real great witness there, Pastor. And I said to the individual, I can't control where people leave tracks. I said, this is pretty stupid, whoever did it. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. So I went to the fellow I suspected of doing it, and he said, well, those people are there doing that, and they're fixing to commit wickedness and stuff like that. They need a testimony. I said, okay, well, next time, go stand by the thing, and then every time they get ready to buy something, tell them yourself.
Yeah, there
you go. This is a cheap way out. Looking for some kind of stupid. You don't go into somebody's place of business and do that kind of thing. You got to have a little bit of sense. I believe you should pray before you throw a track out. Why? What if they're going to just throw it in the trash? What's the point? I think it's good to give a track out. Ask them or leave it. Ask the Lord. Is it okay to leave one here? Sometimes a good place to leave one in the bathroom. You say, why? It's something to read. You know, it's all right to do. Gas pump, that's okay to do. But you've got to be careful because sometimes the people that own the gas pumps are Muslims.
Right.
So, well, bless God, they need it. Okay, go ahead then. Have at it. But what's the point? The guy's going to go out there when you leave and grab the thing and throw it in the trash. You're just trying to, you're not using your head. Use it for something besides a hat rack every now and then. We're talking about witnessing. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
I think you're just being kind tonight. It's like, yeah, whatever. Could you hurry up and get done with this, please? 1 Peter chapter number 3. This will be the last one for tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And look in this verse number 14. There it is. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what he says? Be ready if somebody looks up to you and says, hey man, I've seen you around here for a little while. I've been watching you. You know, you get ready to have lunch there in the break room and I see you praying or something there. So what's all that about? Be ready to give an answer. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Be ready to give an answer. And you should be prepared to do that. Of what? The hope that lies in you. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what witnessing is for. Now, I believe you have to pray to get that boldness. I don't think it's automatically instilled. I think you have to ask the Lord to help you. For me, that's not natural. I have no problem in a pulpit, but it's not natural for me to just walk up to a fence post. But I've gotten where the Lord tells me to, I will. But I pray about it. You do what you want to do. Some people have the machine gun theology or the shotgun theology. They just give it to everybody and let the Lord sort it out. That's great. I'm just not that way. So, all right, I hope that helps you a little bit and give you a little bit of balance on what it is to be a witness. Let's stand together, and Brother Waters, you dismiss us, if you would, please.